Psychology is all around us. Psychological elements can be seen throughout the lifespan, from birth until death. Films are a wonderful tool to explain psychological theory and occurrences in our lives. Characters interact within each frame of film psychological concepts. The films we remember most and view multiple times engages us by capturing the presence of psychological concepts in authentic ways. I invite you to join me, Dr. Catherine Marshall Woods, licensed clinical psychologist and film consultant, and my guest today, Tunisia Britt, director of the DMV International Film Festival, to discuss the best psychology in film. Welcome. Today we have Ms. Tunisia Britt, founder of the DMV International Film Festival. We're so lucky to have her right after her film festival has concluded this year. So I'm sure you've been extremely busy. How are you all? Welcome today.
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Well, tell us a little bit about your film festival. My understanding it's been going on for a number of years now in the DMV.
Yes. So this is our 12th year. Due to the pandemic, we went digital, but we're back in a physical location. And we usually used to do our films and our screenings at the Goethe Theater, the German theater that's in DC. But we decided that we were in our own theater space. So this was our first year in our own DMVIFF made theater. So we were really happy to have the films from this year. But again, yes, this is our 12th year. We started a long time ago. We're just here developing and growing.
Well, congratulations on your new space. Where are you now?
So we're located at 3328 Georgia Avenue in Washington, D.C. It's just a couple of blocks from the metro station. We're located there. We're on the film theater is on the top floor, and then below is our cafe.
I see. So once a year, individuals are able to visit this location in order to participate in this film festival.
So that's the great thing, right? About having your own space, because now we can hold showtimes post-festival throughout the week, which we definitely are planning on doing. I'm actually finishing up the programming for that. And so we're going to have our showtimes here daily so people can come watch independent films. But the film festival itself, yes, happens once a year. And how we wanted to do it was post-festival, we still wanted to keep the filmmakers engaged. We still wanted to connect with content creators. So if they weren't able to make the festival deadline, but they have a great film that's definitely festival worthy, we definitely are willing to work out showtime. So it is definitely a daily one-stop shop now. We don't have to rent theaters anymore. So we are the theater. So yeah.
It gives you a lot more freedom and ability to really be able to be active throughout the year, like you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the theater, the good thing is the independent film. So if you're coming to see like Avatar, you won't see it here. If you're coming to see some box office picture in an IMAX theater, you're not going to see it here. But if you want to see like really good independent films from filmmakers that literally you might know or are local in this area, or even foreign filmmakers as well, because it's a foreign film festival as well. So if you want to see foreign films, but they're independent, this is the place to be for sure. I wanted a theater, because I really like the movie theaters where you can recline back, you can kind of relax, you have your food and your drink served to you. I wanted that type of feel as well. So I made sure to implement the wait staff for the movie theaters, for your drinks, for your foods, to get you stuff from the concession stand. I just wanted to make it like a well-rounded, comfortable place to watch a film.
Mm-hmm. It's generally welcoming.
I wanted to feel like Cheers.
Oh.
I wanted to feel like Cheers.
What was your name?
Where everyone knows your name. I wanted it to feel like that. I wanted it to feel like Cheers for creatives. So even if you don't have a creative bone in your body, but you like watching content, this is the place to be.
Well, really interesting because that is a very novel way of interacting with film, is that usually film festivals happen once a year and then they go on a little bit of a hiatus and then begin the programming for the next following year. And you're really talking about how you're staying busy throughout the entire year and engaging filmmakers. Well, why don't we go back a bit then? Because let's hear about your film festival. I know you just concluding that, so I'm sure there's a lot to talk about.
Exhausted. I'm exhausted. We take a 2-week sabbatical after the film festival every year, like just to kind of regroup, because we do it in a weekend time sex. So it is like jam packed every day of things going on every day, and it's just like a whole schedule of events. So for me, the biggest part was to have these films and filmmakers have a place where they could see their actual work in fruition. Like, we had a filmmaker here who said to us, this is my first time seeing a film on a big screen. A lot of us, when we submit to film festivals, A, we don't get to go because we can't afford to kind of fly out and go to these different places because we spend all our money on the movie itself. And B, we're trying to like recoup. We're trying to recoup that. We're trying to recoup what we put into it. We're trying to figure out ways to get it more plays. And so for this filmmaker, for him to be like, yeah, this is the first time I'm seeing it in big screen. A lot of us at film festivals, that's our first time seeing the work outside of our computer screen of editing or outside of a screen where we're dealing with an editor. Now we are able to see our work on an actual movie screen, and it's independent and it's for us. So there's not like some big wig Hollywood company coming here and saying, hey, you can only screen this for this amount of days. You're dealing directly with the filmmaker who's like, listen, I would love 2 weeks of screen time. I would love it. Let me know how it goes. And we also, like with our sales reports, we also like to break off our filmmakers with a percentage, because again, you have to recoup, and dealing directly with the filmmakers makes us feel like more fulfilled doing it that way. Because we know that our dollar is going back to the filmmaker and not some like big distribution company, and the filmmaker is going to see like 10 cents. And so, and it also gives them, it challenges them to promote their own movies, because if you're promoting your film being in the theater, that ups your ticket sales. So like it's also like a motivating factor as well. Like, we as a theater, we can only do but so much to promote. And so for us, it's important to like have the filmmaker like be engaged in their marketing as well. So
Well, one of the things that I found really interesting about you and this film festival is your interest in the psychology of it all. You and I have had conversations, yes, about all of this and how psychology is a huge part of filmmaking. Why don't you talk to us about your perspective?
Well, first of all, I still want to do the psychoanalysis and cinema workshop with you. That's a must. I feel like that has to be like heavily planned out, because that's just a mind blown thing. So psychology of film is essential, as we spoke before. Like, it is essential. And it's so woven into films that it takes professors, it takes classes to kind of break down these things in movies. It ups the production value for your film. By all means, ups the production value. It gives you more leverage when it comes to award winning, to the writing, to the acting, to the director who's interpreting the words on the paper. It really like weaves together the film. We spoke about, like, I think I gave the example of the Red Cup. And how the red cup sits on the table, and we as the viewers assume like, oh, that's just a red cup sitting on the table. But that red cup, the psychoanalysis behind that red cup is so deep, and it goes so far of what that red symbolizes, what that cup symbolizes, the angle it's sitting at the edge of the table. Is it a scene that this person is about to go over the edge? Like all of these things that have to do with psychology. And I for one, think that a lot of writers and filmmakers, us all, take psychology and film a little more serious when it comes to writing. Even when it comes to editing, it really helps out in the editing process of what to take out and what to leave in when you come to those heavy decisions. There was a film in the film festival called Left Fingers. Yes. And that film, I definitely would have wished they used a different camera, but that's neither here nor there. However, that film went in so many different loops that you had to understand or be tapped into some type of psychoanalysis to kind of really understand that film and really watch that film. That film was good. It was one of my top ones here. But like it definitely went in a loop, and it definitely like went back and so you can understand, and you can understand another film, another project that does that as well. It's an Amazon Prime series. I wish they would have made a season two. Really sucks they didn't. But it's called 000. It's so magnificent because it loops too. But whenever it loops, you hear the song, like it plays a sound and the screen and the shot slows down. And when it slows down, the next cut, it starts you from how you got to that final shot. It's so good, and it goes across the distributors. It tells a story about the mafia, the cartel, and the U.S. distributors, and it goes against three different continents, and the story plays out in three different continents. Yes, with all of the same players, and it's so good because it tells really, it's just telling you one story, and it's telling you one timeline. It's just telling you one timeline, but the way that they edited it, the way that they shot it was, even though it's telling you one timeline, it's literally going back and telling you each character's timeline, one by one, one by one.
It's interesting how you have placed a lot of what I do into words, right? So, you know, I introduce myself always, you know, I'm a clinical psychologist, but I'm also a consultant for filmmakers, and you are describing all of the things that I end up doing and working with filmmakers on is talking to them about the red cup. Like, what is the purpose of that red cup, which is more like set accuracy, right? Like, what are we really trying to say about this red cup? What are we trying to communicate about the character because they have this red cup? And why is it here now? Why are we showing it? And also this idea that psychology is a part of the film, interwoven. We can't get rid of it. It's part of who you are. And if a film is going to reflect the human condition and who we are, psychology has to be a part of it. It's nice to hear, though, that for you, who, of course, is the director of this film festival and equally a filmmaker yourself, you have an understanding as to the importance of psychology in the films. How did that come about that you began thinking about that even?
Oh, grad school. I took a course in grad school called Psychoanalysis in Cinema that changed my life. Like, and it we studied Freud, we studied Ingmar Bergman. I became a really huge Bergman fan through that class. Persona is one of my favorite films. And just the way Bergman played with Freud a lot throughout his films. Fellini was definitely one of the filmmakers as well that is played. And there was another filmmaker, was a new age one. He's a newer one, but Noel Clark, he did a film called Kidulthood. It's kids and adulthood put into one word. And for a short time in England, it was banned. They didn't want that film out. It was banned. It was totally banned. It was like the British version of Kids, but in the most unique way to be told. And it had like, and I think Kids had something to do with like STDs, because that was like a thing back, like when Kids came out. Well, when this film came out, what was the thing then was violence amongst the youth, youth on youth violence. And so they told that in such a way that they felt like it was like really depicting like violence. They didn't really want that, like to be showcasing UK youth. Now it's fine. I think it's been lifted. But for a while it was bad, because I remember being in graduate school and like trying to find it and being able to only find it like on American platforms. So that film changed. I mean, that class changed my life, because it helped me break down my thought process. It helped me like understand how and why I'm thinking a certain way. It really did something for me and opened up like a third eye when it comes to content creating. It's important to know why. And I think that's where the psychoanalysis of cinema comes into place. It explains the why and it justifies the why. And so for me, before that class, I was filmmaking. I wanted to get out those creative. I wanted to get these ideas out of my head. I want to create. And a lot of those things were flops because they had a director, but no direction. And so the way I got the direction was understanding the psychoanalysis within the direction, within the words. So now me, I could eyeball a script and tell you right now, like, what type of depth it's going to have. I can eyeball it because I had to train my brain and train my mind to think that way. And so now when people ask me questions about my films or questions about any film, I don't get annoyed. I used to get so annoyed. Until that class. And now when you can like speak about your film or any content intelligently, and you can understand and break that down and even give the filmmaker a new perspective, it gives it so much more, like it gives it so much more value as a product, or even you as a filmmaker, it gives you more value to be able to like speak about these things, to understand them in a certain way. Children of Men has they won an Oscar for this opening scene for sound design. But the reason why when I broke it down why they won was because that first shot had everything in it that you needed to know. And the same thing with Midsommar. Midsommar was another film. The very first frame of the movie, not the second, the very first, is a picture. And in that picture, it explains exactly what the film was going to happen in the movie. If you're looking at that picture carefully, it explains literally in that painting exactly what's going to happen in the movie. So back to Children of Men, just the psychology in it. You get the name, but this first scene of that movie is Clive Owens in this coffee shop. And all over the news, it's about the youngest child dying. And he's 18 and he's gotten killed. And there's all these news stories going. It's a whole bunch of, but it sounds like noise, but it's not. Could you understand what is happening? He's in there and it's this deafening silence, but there's noise around him, but there's a silence. He goes outside, he puts his coffee, everything is normal. Everybody's inside all concerned citizens, they're inside this coffee shop watching these screens. He's the only one that steps outside. He steps outside, boom! The whole coffee shop explodes. Everyone in that coffee shop almost dies. There's a woman walks out, bloody hand, holding the hand that she was holding in there, like holding, just dazed and confused. And that whole movie from that point on was chaos. The entire film was about survival and chaos. But the psychoanalogy about that scene itself, it puts your anxiety on a certain way of alert, where now you know it's up for the rest of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like it's up. So that's just like, those are like, and that's just one of the films. Like, I could go on, like I could break down them because it's just the psychology in cinema is like essential. It's like sound design. You know what I mean? Like you can't do, like you can do a silent film, but it's always going to have sound design. I try to explain that to people all the time. Like a silent film is not a silent film. It has sound design. They're like, no, it's silent. I'm like, no, it has sound design for sure. It's been touched by sound.
Right.
But like it definitely it goes into play. It's essential. And what I look for when I'm on a judging panel for the film festival, what I look for is those films that had all of that. Like we had a critical thinking block because this year those films really came with it. So we had critical thinking. So just that alone, like it does something for the movie and just ups the ante for the film, period.
Well, before we continue, let's take a small break, and we'll be right back with Tanisha
Okay.
Grant, who is the founder of the DMV International Film Festival here in Washington, D.C., who's been holding it here for many, many years, but now things have changed and shifted, so you can engage with it quite frequently. We'll be right back to hear more from her.
So sad. You've got a roof over your head.
Bro, you gotta stop with that depression stuff. That's a white people thing.
Escúchame. En esta casa, los hombres no lloran.
You all right?
It just feels like it's coming from everywhere.
Do you want to talk about it?
Thanks for hearing me out, bro. Appreciate it.
You can talk to me if you're feeling sad.
Whenever you need to talk, I'm here, okay?
Welcome back. My name is Dr. Catherine Marshall Woods, and I'm here speaking with Ms. Tanisha Britt, founder of the DMV International Film Festival. Thank you again for taking some time out of your day to speak to me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I know we don't have much time left. We just have a couple minutes. But I wanted to know a little bit, when does your film festival happen, and will it be happening next year? And what are your hopes for your film festival next year?
So I'm going to go backwards. So my hopes for the film festival is I'm not going to be on the judging panel. I've had like 12 years of it. I want all new, fresh brains on it. Just a new perspective. The film festival is happening definitely here at the theater. This is the home for the festival. So it's going to be happening here. And so how it started, well, it started at the German Theater. We started in DC. And so it's so crazy because we're back in DC. And since then we've had like screenings in Maryland, but we're back in DC, but we definitely started here. But originally we were having screenings in Hyattsville, Maryland for a while out there. And so, yeah, it started 2010. And when it started, I was fresh back from England from grad school, and I just wanted to have a platform for my friends in England to show their films in DC. That's really where it started. It was like I wanted to showcase their movies because I was like, I've been around these filmmakers that are so dope across the seas, and like everybody needs to see our work and they need to see what we've done. And so I was like, no, it has to come back. It has to come back over here. And so I did that. And so how it started happening was like my friends here that are filmmakers, like, yo, like, show us some love. Then I was like, oh, totally. I can screen some of your projects too. Why not? And then it went from having a room full of my friends, then to being a room full of strangers, and then to total strangers submitting. And total strangers asking, like, well, before submissions, you know, like asking, like, hey, can I submit? And I'm like, oh, and I felt kind of like, ooh, saying like, oh, it's just for me and my friends. And so I had to change that very quickly, very quickly. Had to change the perspective on that. Like, oh, no, all is welcome. All is welcome. You're welcome. And so open it up to the public. And now it's literally for filmmakers that are from D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, or films that have been shot in D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, or films that are from foreign filmmakers that have only been shot abroad. So, yeah. So they have to be. So when you look at the films here, and which we got some compliments on that, like, yo, I saw places in D.C. I saw this. I saw that. When you look at films here, though, right, like, you'll see it's either D.C., or Maryland or Virginia filmmakers, or you see the areas in those areas, or you see a film that's totally from Egypt or Turkey or Spain. Like, so you see the mashup. So you'll see local, homegrown, and then you'll see foreign. And I like that on camera. Like, I like to see other people where they live, where they are at. I like to see that on camera. And so we had such a good film from Egypt. It's called The Play. So good. We had another good one from Turkey. Oh, great one called the Le Confessionnal, because it's French, but it's The Confession. And it's by a filmmaker in Togo. Yeah. And the quality of the way that film was shot, I said, listen, go do it. Like, go do it. South Africa. UK for sure. So, and then you see our filmmakers from Richmond, Virginia, and like in Maryland, and I just like the mashup. I like for our filmmakers to be able to go head to head with foreign films and still prevail. This year, the filmmakers that won this festival were both local filmmakers, which was really cool. Usually we have some foreign filmmakers, but it was both low. Jules Proctor won Days for Best Short Film. And Joel Gershon won Best Feature, and his is called Cirque du Cambodia. It's about these Cambodian brothers that are seeking to join the circus, and they are training for it. And it's very thought provoking and emotional. And it goes totally against what you would think the title. You would think like, I don't want to see two brothers like try to get in the circus, but how it's put together and how he goes through their story, and the circus becomes the background to the story. So yeah, that you have like these, you have these local filmmakers that really came and showed out this year. Really proud of them. I can't wait to see what's going on for next year. The theater's going to, literally when we shut down, we were like making more improvements to the theater. So we're so excited to like even show what the theater will be for next year's film festival. So it's definitely going to be at 3328 Georgia Avenue.
Wonderful. This is so exciting. Well, if people want to get in contact with you, how can they find you?
Okay, so they can visit us at www.dmviff.org.
Thank you so much, Ms. Britt, for coming on. I'm so excited about how you've gotten your own place. And again, how you're really engaging the filmmakers throughout the years, doing showtimes for them and with them. It's a wonderful collaboration, and it keeps really this momentum just going throughout the year. It's so exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. We're really excited. We're really excited to host everyone.
Hey, really. Again, thrilled.
Thank you.
Well, if you'd like to get in contact with me, follow me at Psych Minded Media, and we will see you next time on Best Psychology in Film. Thanks for joining.